Okay, we're back.
We're back. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we've been here. It's like a month long hiatus.
Yep, we've been gone for a while, but
yeah,
we're back. It's all that matters.
We've been busy. Yeah. We've actually hung out in this time, like this whole entire time. We talk every single day.
Pretty much
every single day. Like, we've hung out. We've done this stuff. We just haven't had the time to sit down
and record.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we had a project that we did at your mom's house.
For my mom.
I've been super busy with family stuff in between. Then, like, even that night, whenever we were hanging out, I had other things that I was invited to that I felt obligated to do, but I couldn't do. And it's just, like, life's just, like, coming in hard right now.
Yeah, it's a busy time. And then after this, it's going to probably be another couple weeks or more that we are able to record again.
Yeah.
Just because we're going to be... I'm going to California to visit Jasmine's family.
Yeah, we got stuff, yeah.
And then we're going to be bringing her sisters back, and then her parents are going to drive up here to stay with us for a little bit.
So. Yeah, so you're going to be busy.
We're going to be busy.
It's all good busy, though. That's the good thing, though, is that it's all good busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Although... Like, we try to here because our AC is out. It's been out for, like, a month. So, whenever we get a chance and it's super hot, we're just, like, we lay in one spot and try not to move, generate any body heat.
I didn't know that it had been that long. It's been a month?
It's been, yeah. We it's tried to turn weeks. It on. I mean, we first tried to turn it on in the beginning of May when it started getting hot.
Oh,
and
betcha.
Then nothing happened.
Betcha. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. And it's just dealing with home warranty and stuff.
Yeah. That's the problems of a homeowner. But you know what? End of the day, those are, hey, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing to have the problem, but it's a good thing that you're able to have the problem because it means that you own your home. So, like, if you look at it from that perspective, it's also a good thing. But it's a bummer. but it's a bummer,
we're
right?
Too positive about this.
Well, that's the flip. That's the flip of it. But either way, it's
this glass is not half full, Martine. This glass is very much half empty.
It can be half. It can be
well,
both.
I would say, like, at least I'm sweating off some weight. Yeah. But I think I'm gaining weight.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
Oh, dude, you get comfortable. It's nice. It's a nice time outside.
I eat lots of Otter Pops, too.
Yeah.
That might have something to
do with
it.
Sugar, dude. The
sugar's
gonna get
you. I seriously, if I go and run, I get back, I'm like four Otter Pops. Like,
yeah.
Simultaneously.
Hey, well, especially after working out, that's when the sugar craves hit. That's why I don't work out in the mornings, because if I work out in the mornings, I will eat
junk
all
day.
Though everything. I have put myself into food comas. After my, like, if I work out really, really hard in the morning, I will be in a food coma. It's just, it's a natural thing that's going to happen.
That's so funny, because I do the same thing, except, like, I don't work out in the mornings usually.
Right.
I work out at night, but then, like, the following day, I'm like, I just ran 2 miles yesterday. I'm like, I will get this entire Jimmy John's sandwich, and I am going to eat this whole thing in one sitting, and it's... not gonna be good for my. I mean, it's probably disgusting for my coworkers to watch me do this.
But you eat so fast. It's another level on top of that.
They're
it's
like,
you, yeah.
They walk by. They're like, dang, you got all that sandwich, and then they walk by 10 minutes. They're like, what happened to it?
And you're not even a big person either, so it's like all that food in you that quickly, like it's
like,
impressive.
Oh, they're like, oh, I'm dead. I need to go home.
It's impressive. It's impressive. I remember all the times we ate at Jack in the Box for lunch every single day our senior year, pretty much. And
that's probably why my stomach is so messed up.
Two junior bacon cheeseburgers and a value fry. That was it. It was a $5 meal. And a cup of water. That was what we ate every
with
single
ranch.
Time with ranch.
Yeah, ranch. They charge for the ranch now.
Those assholes. No, but you would be done with your meal the whole entire time, and I'm like barely done with my first burger.
You're still salting and peppering your fries.
I'm a fiend for salt. Oh my gosh, this is so bad. Okay, alright.
This is a car podcast.
enough about the stuff. Let's get into the cars. 2 weeks ago, right, last time we hung out, we actually did a thing to your mom's Subaru.
Yeah, we put a 2-inch lift kit on
it. 2-inch lift from Rough Country.
Rough Country, yeah. And it actually, it turns, I don't, this isn't any issue on Rough Country's part, but like, I guess I probably didn't do as much research as I should, but
yeah, what's going on?
She ended up having to get new like camber arms because they weren't able to dial it completely out.
Oh, bummer. Maybe maybe they do have that on the website and maybe you just
I skimmed over it, maybe I don't know.
If you needed it, maybe you should probably put that in your deal, in your package, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was there a package that had them included?
I didn't see it. I just saw the one thing with just the...
Did my Schwab mess with your mom?
Maybe. They could have.
Maybe, because that happens. Your mom wouldn't know any better.
Yeah, I mean... But, I mean, we were looking at it, and it...
Yes. It could have been... Yeah, the camera like, was off, for sure.
We weren't able to dial it completely out, yeah, so...
The camera was definitely...
But yeah, we lifted that bitch two whole inches.
It took us 5 hours.
Yeah, it did take us a while.
I told Tori that it was going to take us three. And I grossly underestimated.
I always overestimate on that stuff.
Well, I just... Because it was fairly simple.
My clutch job took 5 months.
Right, but I went into this confidently. Like, you know what? Hey, we could do it. And it was good. Yeah, it was pretty smooth sailing.
Everything came off pretty easy. Yeah. I think it's the fact that we are now, like, stepping into the realm of using power tools.
Yeah.
Because, like, if we were trying to, like, muscle off all that stuff, like, it would have had to have been you doing it all. Because I'm not strong enough to get all... Like, I was literally, like, he would do one side, I'd do the other, and it was, like, he's working all of them off, and I'm, like, trying to get each one, and I'm, like, I need the breaker bar, or just give me the...
Yeah.
Give me the impact. Like, yeah. I'm just... I don't have the... that dad strength yet.
I work on it actively. No, it was good though. It was I enjoy working on things with you because it's always a give and give situation. It's always hey, like what do we need for here? What, you know what I mean? Like we work really well together. So I was telling Tori, I didn't tell you, but I was like, I'm actually really excited to work alongside him. It's always like it's a pleasure.
We definitely work well as a team. Yes. And we like It's never like one sided, like, oh, I know how to do everything and I'm just gonna tell him what to do. Like we'll run into an issue and then we'll like figure it out together and then like try something, if it doesn't work, fix, you know, like
It's always a clever,
like, bracket. Like the sway bar brackets. Like we did the entire front and then we moved on to the back thinking like they came with extra brackets that we figured was on for the rear sway bar.
Yeah.
Ended up being for the front sway bar. Ended up installing them backwards on the front sway bar. Yeah. And then like it was just a big like it was interesting. It was fun.
But we sorted it out quickly.
Yeah, and we had fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was solid. But how does, so she had to get that, does she like the ride otherwise?
Other than that, she's like it, she enjoys driving it.
Yeah, I feel like it's, whenever, because I didn't drive it, you drove it, but I was in the passenger seat, like it felt fine.
It felt fine, it felt comfortable,
yeah.
Normal.
It didn't feel like it was...
I think in the instructions it did say that after 500 miles, do a nut and bolt check on everything, so I let her know whenever that expire or whenever that's coming up to let me know, and I'll go over there and just check everything and give it an extra torque and everything. Yeah. Give it another oogda.
Give it an oogda. Another oogie doogie.
And then I think after that it said every 5,000 miles do it again. But we Loctited everything, so I'm not super worried about it.
It should be fine. I'm pretty comfortable with the work that we did.
Yeah.
It was a simple setup. Suspension stuff is pretty straightforward.
I think as long as you're not like actually changing out springs.
Well, even then, it can be
a little tricky when you're doing the springs.
It's kind of straightforward too. It all just depends on the car. But I've done that a couple of times now. If you were to ever want to do it, you could do it.
I think once you gain a level of knowledge with working on cars, everything really starts to become kind of straightforward.
Yeah.
Like it's just take bolts off, remove something. Yeah. But it really is straightforward. Like, obviously, there's more to certain things. Like Jeff's replacing a transmission. He has a donor car, and it ended up the transmissions aren't the same. The bolt patterns are different, so he's like, I don't know, he's doing something else, but he's not able to do that. But like, I was letting him know, like, if you need me to help you, I could totally help you take out a front wheel drive transmission. It's so straightforward to me. I could probably have it ready to come out by it.
You've done it
like,
before,
without even looking. Like, it's just, it's the four cylinder front wheel drives are all generally pretty similar.
Yeah, they're set up, they're packaged the same.
Yeah, and they're all straightforward, like remove this stuff, remove the axles.
Yeah.
And then pull that bitch out.
You see, and the cool thing is that I'm not comfortable with that because I've never done that to the degree that you have.
Right. So if you ever needed to, I could definitely.
Yeah. And that's that give and go. Like, okay, tell me what to do. That's like, I'm learning from you now. You know how this is where you can teach me. Yeah. And it's always good to have that whenever. Like,
that's perfect because I mean the next thing I plan on doing in my car is springs. So.
Yeah. So we're gonna come through. That's
but
fine.
But I think my car doesn't have the spring on strut style in the rear. It has spring on LCA.
That's so easy then.
It's literally just drop it out.
Yeah, you have a bolt on the strut, maybe. Bolt on the bottom. Pull that out, put the spring. That's Fiesta. Easy. I had to replace the struts in the Fiesta.
Oh yeah.
Before I sold it, and it was so easy. It was just three bolts per side. It took me like an hour. It was not much, but the Fiesta, bringing that up, that was the old commuter car. We got another commuter car now, so that's another thing that's happened. We've actually had a lot of stuff going on with us this last month.
I don't think I've actually said that I've got new wheels for my car. I got some wheels from Mario.
Yeah, Mario, the one of the faithful listeners that we have.
I love him.
Dude, well, hey, so yeah, you got the RPF ones, and you got the Michelin Black Pilot Sports 4S's.
I think so.
Right? Yeah. So it's a high quality tire now.
They're on the lower side, and they've definitely been heat cycled.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's autocrossed them.
And that's like, I knew they were going to be like that. Yeah. They're still pretty grippy.
They're still grippy.
The first time I turned it, took a turn, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
These are definitely different.
And that's to the point.
With the all seasons, like, my all seasons are not slumpy all seasons either.
Right,
they're on the sportier end of all seasons, but like I take a turn with them and I'm like you can feel the response difference. Like I almost like, whoa, like just almost like went into the other lane because I was turning so fast.
I always told you, Brandon, I know like you want the practicality of all seasons, but if you want to enjoy your sports car the way that you were supposed to, it's the tires.
Don't like
the lowering springs. Like it looks cool, and yeah, it's a different feel, but it's always the tires.
The tires are gonna get the most.
The wheels and tires
for
yes.
the car, like
wheels and tires should be the first thing to go.
The thing I hate though is that tires are
they're expendable and they're expensive.
The expensive part. Yeah,
good quality tires are expensive.
Yeah, if I want to, I'm going to continue to put good tires on it. It's just going to be out of the pocket, you know.
But now what are the pros? How does the car feel now?
It's way better.
How so?
It's a lot grippier. I also can take it, like, when I take it out of traction control and, like, roll through the gears, it feels a lot better going to the end of the gear and then into the next gear. Like it just boom takes off right off.
Yeah.
Like it. And then, just so much more confidence with it too. You can take it around that turn. I don't think I've ever actually gotten it to be able to really understeer yet. Like,
okay.
I haven't gone balls out yet with them, but I mean, I'm able to, that's wrong. I have gotten it to understeer a little bit. But it's so easy to correct and
with the
car itself, like it's literally like let off the throttle and then the the limited slip just like rotates the car for me.
Yeah.
So it's so easy. Which actually explains because Mario had like spun out one time. It would be very easy to spin out.
If you have way too much of a weight shift that, you can let off a little bit, but if you like a full let off, you might upset the car so much.
It'll definitely bring the rear.
Mario has spun out his Civic a few times, but that's like, I'm so glad you got them because I don't think that you're going to be able to go back to having.
I will, like, because I do have the other wheels.
Right.
And I have the stocks with the all seasons on it.
Right.
And those are going to be my winter
setup.
And then spring, summer, probably fall, I'll be running.
Yeah, because, you've ran all seasons for winters and you've always gone around fine.
Always been fine. I've never had any issues.
Exactly.
When those all seasons do eventually go out, I probably will go to maybe a winter tire. maybe. Yes,
but you're going to keep the summer tire. I'm going to keep
the sports tires on the RPF ones.
Yeah, it's just a thing where, dude, if you want to enjoy your car, if you really want to enjoy your car, wheels and tires is the only thing that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You can get suspension, brakes, everything. You can get everything.
It needs new brakes on the front.
but if you don't get the right tires, you're not gonna enjoy the car the same way.
Yeah,
so save yourself the money on all of that stuff and get your wheels and tires first, and then you can start thinking about it. Because from my perspective, whenever I got the wheels and tires on the MR2, that was the biggest change. That was the most drastic change, that like the night and day difference between the how it handled.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure when you got the MR2, you brought it over and I went driving with mm-hmm. you, and like I was able to kick out the rear end mm-hmm. and stuff. I don't think I would have been able to do that with the new wheels and tires.
Yeah, so I had the RE71s. Those are the stickiest autocross tires.
Which I don't think I'll ever go that right. far. Yeah, because I still need a tire that is dailyable. Yes, and that's not going to deteriorate on me.
The Pilot Sport 4S's are the perfect tire for that, because you get a lot of the feel, a lot of the feel. But you get a lot more drivability out of
it. And I haven't driven them in the rain yet, so I'm still a little bit like...
And
especially since the tires are kind of towards the end of their life, I'm like, I'm going to definitely be keeping it easy.
That's all a part of having these type of tires.
You have to take it easy, being aware of that.
Mm-hmm. But whenever I got the tires on the MR2, that was the biggest difference. I did the suspension work after that, and it was like... the car just became harder to drive and stuff like that after the fact. So, like, in retrospect, it's like, really, I probably should have just kept the wheels and tires on it and then saved the money, because, you know, it's kind of up in the air what I'm going to do with the MR2 right now, because I'm not really trying to toss any more money at it anytime soon, which is unfortunate.
It's not fully running right now.
I was going to take it to the mechanic on Friday, and I was just, because it was driving... like the throttle issue sucked, but I could technically get it up to 70 miles an hour. It's not like that big of a safety hazard. Tori would have been behind me. Like, we would have had the emergency lights. We would have been fine. We would have accelerated up to speed and take it over to the mechanic, but I couldn't.
It wouldn't start.
Yeah, it wouldn't
start and run.
So now at this point, it's like, all right, well, I'm going to take money. I'm going to have to grab money to get it over there, pay money to diagnose it, pay money to get it fixed, I don't think it's worth it right now. So it's up in the air, but at the same time, now in retrospect, it's like, maybe I probably should be a little bit slower with mods if for the next platform, because there will be a platform that I get after that, whatever it is.
Right.
It's ever changing.
It's gonna be a Z.
Always.
It's gonna be a Z.
It's ever changing.
It's gonna be a Z.
It's ever changing. Yeah. But you know, there's certain colors that do what I like them to do. You mm-hmm. know, but we'll see what goes on with MR2. But you know, wheels and tires is all I really needed to enjoy that car.
Right.
That's all I really needed in retrospect. So. My eyes, I kind of look at that as a mistake, but that's okay, because I can learn from that, so we're good. Now, for the next car, whatever it is, I'm going to wheels and tires only, mm-hmm. like, because I want to autocross it. If I can keep it in the stock class, that'd be dope, because hopefully then you don't buy tie one up your money.
Yeah, you might buy one that ends up being aftermarket a little bit.
Which means I want to try to find a stock one so that I can just keep it. Which is rare.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Japanese cars that we like, they're hard to find stock.
Exactly.
Like, even mine has the air intake on it.
Exactly. And they charge a premium most of the time, too. Mm-hmm. Just in general, because these cars are getting... The driving dynamics of cars are changing so much right now that it's... These the feel of these cars, like the Zs, the S2000, they give you a similar feel, because, so the new car that I have is it's the Chevy Cruze.
Oh yes, right. We sidetracked from that for a second, but yeah.
We're good. We're fine. the new car is a Chevy Cruze, so it's a 1.4 turbo.
Give me the specs.
It's a 1.4 turbo.
1.4 turbo, four-cylinder?
Four-cylinder. One, it's like, it's 150, 155, small engine. 150, 155 horsepower, 181-ish pounds of boost pounds of torque.
That's diesel. That's a lot of boost.
I actually don't know how much boost it pushes. My guess would be
like maybe
mid-teens, probably, because it's such a small engine.
Two. 2 pounds of boost.
It's such a small engine, and it's making, you know, decent power, right? It's a 1.4 liter making 155 horsepower. That's like, you know, the B16 was the big one, 10 to 1, you know, 10 horsepower or 100 horsepower per liter. This car makes more than 100, or yeah, more than 100 horsepower per liter. It's a 1.4 that makes 150,
oh, yeah,
right?
With turbo cars, it's easy to make more horsepower.
But it's still decent power for what it is. But that car is like, it's thoroughly impressed me.
Yeah.
Because it's, so we were in a situation where we got this car. We didn't necessarily choose this car, but it was there. You. And so, yeah, essentially. It chose me. And so I'm like, okay, cool. This is awesome. Like, we're like, yeah, we'll take it on. And, I know that like the Honda Civic is the segment leader, and I'm sure the 1.5 turbo, like, I'm sure it's a segment leader. I'm sure it's great. This car is also pretty good. So I want, like, how good is the Honda Civic? Because I'm sure it is better. I want to see how, like, that's like the interesting, the spark in my head is like, I'm sure it is better. I want to see how it's better because this is already pretty good.
What year is it?
It's 2016, okay. But it's the newest generation. Yeah. It was the last generation. They actually got discontinued. But the driving dynamics are weird. I understand why people like torque. I understand it because it's effortless. The car makes, it's like, it's a turbo car. So now everyone's trying to go for that plateau, right? Everyone wants a torque peak low. And it plateaus, and then it tapers off around like that 4,500 RPM, right? Mm. That's what everyone's going for, like BMW. Like, everyone is trying to get that because the daily drivability of that is insane. The car does not struggle. It's a 1.4 liter. It doesn't downshift going up hills because it's already making
it's just like full torque. Yeah.
So I understand why they had to struck out the S2000 because it made so little torque. And I can see how that can be frustrating. But that's where the kind of the difference is for me. I've never really floored this car. I've had it for a couple of weeks. I've never really floored it because it's not fun. It's an automatic. It's an automatic, but it's not fun to floor because it doesn't make power up top.
It tapers off. Low end.
If you floor the car, it's gonna shift it 1,000 RPM before redline because because there's no point in being up there. If you put it in the selectable shift mode and you let it shift past that, there's no reward to being
it's just
up
like,
there. Yeah, it tapers off. There's okay. Literally no reason to be up there because it's not fun. So the feel of those Japanese cars, the S2000s, the 350Zs, the cars that the RX-8s, the cars that you have to rev out, that's a different feel.
The Zs do have pretty good end low end.
Yes,
they
do.
They're
but they still make power up top, and it's still fun to get up there.
Yeah, like my car makes really good low end torque.
Yeah.
For 200 horsepower.
But peak power.
But then it also continues, and that's the DVTI or whatever that it has.
Peak power is at 7,000 RPM for the Civic Si, mm-hmm. which is the red line.
Right.
So that's why that car is so fun to drive, because you do get that little torque, and then once you get in that power,
it's like
that's where all the fun is, and it rewards you for revving it all the way out.
Right, and then I could also still go up a hill and not have to downshift.
Take me up. So my mother-in-law actually had a Chevy Cruze just like that one, but hers was a manual. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like a manual for life type of person, right? Right?
Yeah, right.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm just like, this car wouldn't be really any more fun in a manual. Mm. I like to rev my cars out.
Right. And so if it's a manual, you're not...
There's no fun in revving this car out.
I get that.
But now, there's more fun to revving this car out. Okay, so now I'm not revving this car out. What is that going to do to the health of the engine?
It's probably going to make it last forever.
It's probably
going
to make it a whole lot better, right? And so in our reality, it's kind of... It's such a different... It's a different feel where, like, the torque is good on a daily, like... daily basis, the drivability and like all that stuff like that, it's great.
Right.
But the high end power, the top end power is what's fun. That's what's fun to me.
If you want to take it that extra step.
Yeah. So that's obviously we're comparing apples to oranges, right? Because this is an economy car.
Yes, it is.
This is an economy car, but at the same time, the driving dynamics are going to be amplified, not necessarily changed.
Right.
on like a faster car. And maybe I'm just talking out of my ass. Maybe I need to get into like one of these, one of those V8 twin turbo BMWs, like where they have that crazy torque and it just like just goes on for forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, those are higher end engines, but it's just interesting. Like, yeah, the completely different feel.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys have that in the Mercedes.
The Mercedes, yeah,
it's in that exact same way, isn't it?
I mean, it definitely does go faster. The like, if you do take it, like rev it out a little bit, but it's.
Yeah, does it go up to redline?
I think so.
See, I'm sure.
I haven't tried to.
Yeah.
Because I'm nice to it.
Oh well.
But I'll use the paddle shifters every once in a while, and yeah, I mean it's. If I feel like it does better in the low end torque area,
yeah.
Like,
but it's a comfortable
thing,
right?
If I am just kind of driving it, I'll just go boom, boom, like quick shifting it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I haven't really.
You haven't thought about it.
I haven't really gone into it too much with it, because.
But I know it makes good torque. Car. I know it makes good torque. It's a turbo 4, right?
Yeah, it has beat me in a race. We did line up just like a quick, probably like. Not even a quarter mile.
But it probably doesn't even feel that fast when you're driving it, huh?
Nope.
And it's the power delivery.
Like, her car definitely is faster, but it does not feel faster. Like, my car is, it just feels so much faster and more lively to drive.
But in a sports car, that fuel is fine.
Yeah. I think I could beat her off.
Like, you got to time it right. You got to get it right.
Now that I have the tire, I think I could take her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you guys have to line them up again.
I don't know if we'll ever get the opportunity.
Yeah.
It was just like, we were coming up to the light and I was like, I saw it turn yellow. I was like, next lane. This is happening right now. Like, it's that on Argent where it goes into two lanes and then it goes back into one lane. Like,
yeah.
Light. And so I'm like, oh, it's happening. This is the only spot. It's the only time I'm ever going to be able to do this. And yeah, I lost.
Respect. Did you put it in sport mode?
No, she said she's still in economy.
Oh my god, no. That's even worse.
I had a terrible launch. I definitely revved it too high, and then I had a ton of wheel spin. I think I spun all the way through first, and then like part way through second.
Yeah, yeah.
But then as I caught in second, I was like, I'm going to do it with my hands. You guys can't see it. But
I'm watching.
Like, she jumped ahead, and then like as I caught traction, I kind of pulled in, but then like we were coming to the end of the lane, so then I let off. So I think if I
maybe had a little bit,
if
more
if I had better traction, I could like at least get out on her. Like, I know she has an all-wheel drive car, but the car doesn't launch aggressively, Jasmine wouldn't know how to do a launch with like left foot braking and stuff. So I think I could, like, if I, now with the new tires, if I launched it right and just like got it.
Hey, does Jasmine know how to drive a manual?
No.
Does she want to learn?
I want to teach her, and like I need to replace the clutch probably in the next few years. So I'm thinking I might take her and teach her in the Civic at some point.
Yeah, I think you should, like, why not? Like, just to, I mean, obviously if it's something that she'd be interested in, you know.
Yeah, I think she's interested in it.
I've been trying to get Tori to get into a.
She knows how to drive.
Tori knows how to drive. Yeah, but I've been trying to get her to think about going autocrossing. Like, hey, just come out, lose the shame, lose the guilt, like the embarrassment. Like, it's fine. Just go out and like just try to have fun. Like, you know how to drive a manual? This is something that you've never done before. It's kind of scary, right? I don't think she's ever even floored a car. Like, she will try her best to not floor her car ever.
Right.
But it's fun. She knows I'm super into it. So whichever. You know, I don't know if the MR2 would
be perfect though for her.
Yeah, because of the low power
and the paint job. Like, the thing with me is like I worry about hitting a cone and getting a big old scrape in my paint, and then Neri not being happy with me.
Nah, like, see,
I have to buff that out. No, thank you.
Dude, well, it all depends. I know that I would like to use mine for that. You're using your car as a daily driver. You don't have to autocross it. You know?
Yeah, and it looks good.
That's why it's really like, it's, you might eventually, maybe you'll go out there once or twice, maybe you won't. But maybe one day you'll get your own other little car that you can go out and do that in, or maybe you won't either. You know, like, it all depends.
Yeah, I kind of wish I didn't sell the other Civic.
That would have been a fun little beater car to take.
But I would rather drive this Civic
Yeah, on a
daily basis. Yeah. Autocross car, at least.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
It would be. I think if I just tape the bumpers and tape like the half the doors with like masking tape or I'm not getting no bra.
Not even just to put on for that.
Maybe.
Well, I mean that might be like a price to pay thing.
But you know? Like with those, I think you have to have like a completely clean and stuff if you're wanting to put it on your paint, okay. Especially with the black.
Well, yeah, actually, because it'll probably rub and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I hate that it's a black car. Like the hood and the front bumper starting to get torn up just from daily driving use and stuff, and it's so much more noticeable with the black paint because of the nicks and stuff. I'm like,
I'm halfway trying to stay away from black cars if I can, just because I realized that too.
Like. Maybe if I ever got like a. No, never. I would never buy another car black. Maybe if I got like a car that I don't drive daily and it's more like a show car, but even then, like it's so much harder. It's still gonna be hard, much harder, and like I'll wash my car and I do so much. I put in like an hour and a half of like. Work with like spraying all this different stuff on it, and then 2 days later it's covered in dust, and it's like I could just like wipe the dust off, but it's so noticeable too, and like if it was a white car it wouldn't be as noticeable. I will never buy a black car again in my life.
The Pathfinder's way, and we took it to Wallawa Lake last weekend, and it's dirty, but it's white. If it was black it would look way worse.
It would be filthy.
Yeah, Tori's Kia looks.
It's red, right?
It's burgundy.
Burgundy.
Oof, the bougie color. We took that camping the weekend before that, and you know it got dirty, but it looks so much worse than the simply because it's a darker color. But I think we're gonna be getting rid of the Kia and keeping the Pathfinder because it's just.
And the MR2. Get rid of that probably at some point.
It's probably gonna go if I'm being honest. As much as I love the car, like
you don't want to put more time
into it. It's close to. It's probably not too far away from running. But that's the thing is that I'm tapped out of it right now. I don't.
Yeah, and the problem is like, oh, I might. You could keep it, but then like when you do offend, like as it's sitting, it's getting worse. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to just fix itself. It's just going to continue to deteriorate. Yeah. That's like the way these Japanese cars work. Like they're great until you start like not driving them as much. Almost. Yeah. Like, and then they, like with my old Civic, it was the same thing. Like it was fine. And then I kind of stopped driving it as much. Mm-hmm. And then it started deteriorating even more, like oil dripping and stuff like that. It's just best to give it to somebody who will maybe put a bougie paint job on it and sell it.
Who knows? I mean, it's honestly not in too bad a shape for whatever reason. I just can't figure out what problem it is. And I think I'm done. I might be done spending money on trying to figure it out.
I think you're going to have to. Take a loss on it.
Well, I'll hold that L proudly. Lesson learned.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson learned.
Just like with my Civic. Same thing.
Yeah, lessons learned.
And it also, like, I mean, I kind of got tired of it. Same thing. I was tapped out with it.
Yeah.
I got tapped out with it while I was working on the clutch, and then I was like, you know what? I need to get it to a point where I could sell it.
Yep.
So at that point, that was my motivation I'm gonna fix this car so I can sell it.
Yeah, and that's part of being tapped out of it. Yeah. Everyone goes through that though. Mm-hmm. Like it's a funny thing, it's a funny joke to toss around, but no, everyone goes through it.
Once a car is so mean to you so many times, it's like, you know what? I'm so nice to you. I do all these nice things for you, but you're just going to be mean and lose power for no reason and not turn on. Like how rude.
Yeah, how rude, bitch.
What a rude bitch.
let's just cut our losses. Let's just cut our ties right now. Bye-bye.
We need to get out of these old Japanese cars.
Well, there's people that don't, and there's people that don't, and they also don't necessarily have the means to be doing it, too. And that's when it's like, oh, let's not get to that point. You see, it's like, I have my money that I want to tie into different things, not into this right now.
Right.
And so that might be why it has to go, because it's not that I don't have the money to, it's not that this is not that, it's just that it's not the smartest thing to do right now. And it might not be a smart thing to do at all anymore. I mean, so.
Really ever. It's not, yeah. It was never a smart
move. Yeah, exactly. But,
like, it was, exactly. It was fun. It brought you joy.
Yeah.
And it also brought you heartache.
Yeah. It did bring me a ton of fun. So maybe now it's like, let's get a newer car that I don't have to put much work in. And also, let's not modify it so I also don't have to put much work in, because I'm super busy with everything else.
Yeah.
That's also part of this.
Modify your car.
I do not have the time. Now, I love the sports cars. I have to have that. That's like a part of my...
Yeah. You know? I mean, as long as you're buying a sports car nowadays... It comes with everything you need.
Like, it's good.
Like with us, I mean, the MR2, like, yeah, it was a mid-engine car and stuff like that, but it wasn't really a sports car. Like, it was luxury. No, not really.
Well, it's a sports car for what it is.
Right.
It's from the
80s. I guess for me, it was like my old Civic. Yeah. It was not a sports car. Like, it was a...
Okay, that, yes.
It was an economy car, and I was making it a sportier car. So then I was putting that extra stuff on it. But, yeah, now we just you need to get a sports car that actually comes equipped with the stuff you need.
Exactly.
And then
wheels and tires will be good to go. And that's all you're really going to need.
Ever.
And part of that is like a time thing. Like, I'm so busy with the kids. We're busy all the time.
Right.
And so on the couple weekends I have, I kind of want to rest sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm getting a little bit older. I'm enjoying this whole family time thing. It's pretty cool.
You play some Rocket League, chill.
I haven't even played Rocket League. I told Tori throughout the weekend, or I think it was Thursday night, and I didn't end up doing it anyway. Thursday night, I was like, "Hey, I got a date with Rocket League tonight. Like, you got your work to do, so I have a date with Rocket League tonight. I'm excited." And I go in there and I'm, you know, ready to play Rocket League. Which means I took a few fat ribs in the bathroom. And I'm gonna go and I'm ready. And I play a few rounds and I'm like saucing it up. We're feeling good. And I look out there and she got like a universal charger thingy, and it didn't have the charger port for her laptop. So she couldn't do work. I know. And so I was like, oh, well, I mean, I was only gonna play Rocket League because
you were working.
But now that you're not working, I should stop playing Rocket League. Hey, there's the new In the Heights musical is on. Do you want to watch it? I don't know anything about it. Perfect. Me neither. Let's go in the dry, but it's supposed to be good. And so we went there and watched it, and I passed the fight out.
Because of those two fat ribs from earlier.
Yes, yes. Well, that, and I'm just tired. If I'm active playing Rocket League, then I can stay up. But if I'm just like...
Put your head down.
Yeah, Tori's cuddling me. I'm just like...
I'm the same way, man.
Melting, like... Man, is that getting old shit, dude?
I'm the same way. Like, if as long as I'm sitting up and I'm good, like, I'll be awake, I'll be like, fun. But, like, as soon as I put my head on the pillow, it's like, oh,
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Like, the race last weekend, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, we were, like, it was getting towards the end of the race, but I obviously knew what happened because Martin had spoiled it for me just a few... Yeah, well, do we want to get into that a little bit? We might as well. I already mentioned it. So I was watching Martine's dogs for the weekend because you guys were out of town.
Yeah.
Sunday, we woke up a little bit late. The race had already finished. So then we got a few things done around the house. But I kept my phone away because I didn't want to spoil the race and we could watch it later. So Jasmine and I finally sit down. We turn on the race. We're on the formation lap. Martin shows up to pick up his dogs, and he walks in. He's like, "Oh, you guys are watching this? I saw Checo won." And I was like, "What the fuck, dude?"
Oh my gosh.
Formation lap.
So this is my thought process the second that I said, "Hey, I saw Checo won," Brandon's face changes. He drops his face. He gets sad. I look at the TV and I see formation lap, and I look at Brandon and I think, I called him. Tori texted him. He didn't answer. I actually went to your mom's house before here because I wasn't sure if you were gonna be home.
Oh my god!
So Jeff and Kathy told me that you're here, and so then I'm like, okay, I come here now. he hadn't checked his phone. He hadn't seen the race. This race is brand new to him, like, and I just spoiled this shit for him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got so mad at myself because F1 races are at 6 in the morning, right?
Right. Well, when they're on that side, like over in the other side of the world.
Right. Early morning. Right. But this race was at 6 in the morning. Yeah, it was at 6 o'clock. And so, to me...
It was like 1 o'clock.
It was 1 o'clock. Yeah, to me, I figured that he'd already had seen it, and that's why I said that. But after I said that and saw his face, when I realized that he hadn't checked his phone specifically to not, you know?
Yeah.
And so I felt horrible. But we left it at that. I left, and I thought about it for the rest of the night.
I should have just, like, as soon as he walked in, I should have just been like, hey, we're watching the race, don't say anything.
yes. But,
yeah.
But still, I felt super bad on my end.
I was not happy.
And then...
I ended up falling asleep during, like, the most... right before it actually got good, Jasmine's like, babe, wake up, stuff happening.
Yeah, I ruined it so much. I texted Brandon the following morning, and I said, hey... I'm sorry. And then he kind of just let me have it a little bit, telling me that he's mad. And I'm like, dude, yes. I deserve that one because I've never been mad at Martin.
It was like, I could not remember. Like, I was racking my brain. Like, have I ever been mad at this man before?
Yeah.
And I have never been mad. But yeah, I was mad at you.
That's okay. I deserve the shit out of that
one. If it would have been just like, oh, Max or Lewis won, like, maybe I would have been less mad because they won every single race leading up to this. But the fact that it was going to be Checo's first win, like,
it's all good. I ruined that one for you.
It was good.
But we're over it now, kind of.
Yeah, we're good. We're over it. Just don't ever ruin a race for me ever again.
Now I'm taking a mental note. Now I'm learning. Now I'm like, all right, hey. Ask for a spoiler there first. Make sure we're good.
Always.
Make sure we're good.
Formula One races, Formula Drift. Like
because you don't usually watch it live.
I try not to.
And I'm the type of person that only watches things live.
I try to if I can, but like with Formula Drift, it's hard because they've done. Events where somebody will spill, like literally this last race, somebody spilled oil all over the track right before finals. Like,
yeah, so it takes forever.
So they had to go through and clean the whole track, and then
it's hard for them to be consistent because there's so many variables.
Right, and like, obviously, if we have a bunch of people over and we're hanging out watching it, that we could be like, you know, we could do something else for a little bit to pass the time, but then it's hard to keep that momentum of like,
the energy.
Oh my gosh. Because like that race, it was Formula Drift Orlando. It was Justin Pollock. He literally, like, right before he initiated into the first bank, smoke started just pouring off his car. And I was like, holy shit. Like, how did he get so much smoke, like tire speed and to be able to do that so quickly? Cause usually like, you'll see them initiate, and then, like, a few seconds later, then the smoke happens.
So something just looked different.
It looked different. But then, when he initiated, and then I saw the smoke, actually, the, like, tire smoke start, I was like, what the hell? And you could see smoke coming off the front of his car and everything. Like, so, long story short, he ran the whole track with zero oil pressure, basically.
Yeah.
And he was spewing oil all over the track.
So that was super hard to clean up because the number one, a little bit of oil will ruin everything.
And especially with these cars that rely so heavily on that grip to be able to do what they need to do. So they had to clean it all up. And for me, it was easy because we were like, I think the event had ended like maybe 20 minutes before and we were able to just skip through it. And then, we kept that momentum going into the finals or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the people there were
waiting, exhausted, man.
And now the events are going later because they have those lights.
So now they're staying later for. Bugs. But the sport is in its infancy. It's still a good sport. It's gonna have these bugs. They're gonna figure out how to get a little bit more streamlined. I'm sure they're thinking about it too because they want to give the best product because that's where the money is. How do
we?
Right. Unfortunately, look. money is a good thing. It's also a bad thing. Like, if that's, like, if your number one value is money, it's not necessarily a good thing. But understanding that you need money to do the things that you do value, that's whenever it's a good thing.
Right.
These guys value Formula Drift. Mm-hmm. That's the good thing about it, is that they value the sport.
A lot.
So they need the money in order to get it to that point. Because this is really, it's just like a homegrown heart project, right?
For
it's
sure.
It's a love project.
Yeah, like, literally the two guys that run the sport, they're so transparent, like...
Exactly.
You get there on, like, podcasts, talking to people, and
but
telling
that's
them
the
off.
Good thing,
they're
that's
replying.
Organic.
They're replying to Instagram messages. Like, I've literally had one of the co-owners reply to me on one of my Instagram messages when I was giving them flack.
That's dope, though.
In my defense, though, I was pretty hammered when I was watching it. I was, like, I was a bunch of Twisted Teas in, probably, like, 5 or 6 at this point, and I was, like... What the hell? It was like, I actually remember the call. Should we go into? I don't know.
Well, were you outraged here? Let's not get into it. Were you in the right though? Like, was it something that they actually kind of messed up on?
I don't know. I think it's the whole rule with Formula Drift, like passing rule. Like, if a driver goes off course a little bit, like a lead driver, the chase driver can pass on an inside clip. So. They were, something like that was happening, but, like, I don't think that should be a rule, like, for passing. Right. I think that as a chase driver, you should be following whatever the lead driver is doing. So, if the lead driver is going off course, you should probably start following him in that direction. Like, obviously, don't crash your car, but if he's off of inner clip, then you shouldn't be on inner clip. Like, you should be also off the inner clip to me. Like, they say your job as the chase driver is to match what the lead is doing, but then if the lead is going off, you're allowed to pass him on the inside.
Okay.
That to me doesn't make sense, but
I guess
for them it does.
I disagree with you. From someone that doesn't know the sport as well, from the very, like, from an outside perspective, because I'm getting into the sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this straight. All right. So if the lead driver makes a mistake,
on the inner clip, and he, like, say if he's coming up to inner clip,
so the inner clip means
wide,
that he has to go in,
hit the front of his bumper, right. Needs to be as close to the inner clip, and if he goes wide enough for us, the chase car to basically fit in there,
the chase car can pass him. Okay.
Yes.
So in your opinion, that should not be allowed. In your opinion, the chase driver has to.
They should be mirroring what the lead driver is doing. So he should be off that inner clip with them.
Okay, and to that point, I had to say that I disagree with you. Now here's my take on that. That's perfect. it's the different perspective, right? Mm-hmm. So what you're thinking is that. Essentially, what you're saying is that the chase driver has to accommodate for the lead guy's mistakes.
Right.
The lead guy should be making mistakes. So the chase, right? Right?
Yeah,
so if the chase guy gets in on the inner clip and he can pass him, it's ultimately it's because the lead guy was so far off of his line.
Yeah, he had made a big
So bigger. It's you're asking the chase guy to compensate for shitty driving.
Okay, shitty driving. Yeah.
Because
it's not
his fault that the lead guy is off of the line. He's not doing as good of a job as he should. If you get passed, you're doing so poorly that.
Right, but then I mean in that sense then if like you're in the first round of top 32, you have the guy who qualified first versus the guy who qualified 32nd going into each other. If the guy who is 32nd is leading and he's like low on the bank, what you're saying is the guy in should be able to just like the chase driver can just drive the right line while the other guy's doing a terrible line. Like that wouldn't be an active chase, so the
chase driver passing him on a bad line, is that what you're saying?
Well, like the chase driver can't pass on an outer clip,
right?
So like if the lead driver...
So you can't pass on the outer clip.
Only on an inner clip.
So then that wouldn't be a problem.
I don't even know. I guess you're right. You kind of make...
Think about it.
Yeah, because if you do...
You can't pass on an outer clip, right? Because if you were to be able to pass on an outer clip, that would mean that you can use like a power advantage to get around.
Get around.
But at that point, you're not chasing.
Right.
if this guy takes an inner clip and he takes the inner clip too really wide, and it's really bad,
yeah,
then at that point, I mean, you can pass him because he's so far out. You're rewarding shitty driving.
Okay.
Yeah. Instead of rewarding the good driving, because the only way that he can pass him is if he has a good line past that inner clip. If he has a shitty line on that inner clip, then he can't really get a good pass, right?
You're right. Yeah, I mean, it is up to, like, the lead driver does, it is their job to run the perfect qualifying line. Then if they're not doing that, then
yeah,
they shouldn't be rewarded
for it. That's an interesting, it's a different take.
You're right.
It's a different take. That's an outside perspective. Wow.
Well, I'm going to go delete my Instagram comment from a year and a half ago.
Well, no, but see, that's the thing, though, is that maybe they're still trying to figure out the rules at that point. It's like, maybe they took your thing. Like, see, that's the thing, is that you had an opposing opinion and that rule is still the same rule, right?
Right.
So then they're like, you know what? We understand that perspective, but this is the perspective that we think works here.
Yeah. Basically, his response was, we understand that perspective, but, like,
yeah,
we think it's more spectacular to see the chase driver pass. And I kind of, now that you're saying that, like, that was essentially what he was trying to say too, is like, it's better for the chase driver to just take the pass than to reward the dumb driving that was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And on that note, I think we're done.
Yeah, we should be done. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, dude, no. Yeah. I mean, it's been a month, but we're good. We've just been busy, but I feel good. It's been a good busy.
Yeah, but we haven't just been doing nothing.
Yeah, it's been a good busy. We're chilling, but yeah, we'll make it back whenever we can. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're gonna be busy.
Right,
I'm gonna be busy. Sounds like 3 weeks might be the number.
3 or 4 weeks, possibly.
We'll see. Might be going out of town 4th of July weekend. I don't know. But we're good. Let's just live life.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what we do.
All right, you guys.
We're not going to stop living.
We'll get at you guys later.
Okay, bye.